And a very pleasant good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live. We're broadcasting from the auditorium of Cornerstone Church, 601 Main Street in Wheeler, Texas. Mark Meek is the host of this long-running radio program. His co-host is Natalie Thomas. Good evening, Natalie.
Well, good evening. How are you, Jim?
Well, I'm very well.
Well, that's good. That's good.
It is the second program of 2022.
I know. So we've had, what, 9 days now to deal with all of our New Year's resolutions.
I knew you were going to bring that up. So.
Because, you know, we are all stuck in these, got to do something new.
Got to do something. Yeah, that's the thing. Something's new.
So. That's right. That's right. That which reminds me of that scripture we talked about last week. It says in Lamentations 3:23 or 24, I can't remember which verse, that it says, His mercies are new every morning. So it doesn't matter if it's January 1 or December 31st. You know what? We get to start over.
We get to start over every day with the mercies of God. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, God, for that, because I tell you what, I need it.
I take it myself.
That's right. Well, with that being said, I'm excited because we've got Marlon Sparks on with us today. Hey, how are you, Marlon?
Getting ready for a great, great year, I tell you.
Absolutely.
Pretty excited.
Yep. Going to be a good one.
That's right. That's right. And that's kind of what we got to put in our head, don't we? We have to set it in motion. We have to bring those things out. What's the word I'm looking for? Vision, you know, set it straight, put it in our mind, set out. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, you know, as we're coming into the new year, we've 9 days into this, are you into New Year's resolutions?
You know, that's really cool. I was thinking about that early this morning. I'd seen a post that I'd put on social media last year that said, I'm more interested in a New Year's revelation than I am a New Year's resolution.
Hey, I like that.
Revelation will get you, me at least, a whole lot further than a resolution, I tell you.
Isn't that right? I mean, you know, it being 9 days now, you know, we probably have already made one and have already not kept it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Set ourselves up for a lot of heartache and disappointment. Sometimes when we do that, though.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, I was thinking about the new year, and, you know, one of the things that I really like to do towards the end of the year before we get in is I like to really pray, God, what is it that you have for us in 2022? And, Lord, you know, what scripture can I stand on, or what word? And one of the things that God has really put on my heart is focus. And sometimes it's just a word or something like that. And I'm still praying for the scripture to go along with that. But the focus, and I'm like, okay, what does he mean by focus? And I think he's telling me focus on him, focus on what is good, focus on what the word says, and focus, just bring our focus. Because I think so many times, have you ever seen that show, The Hoarders?
Oh, yeah.
And you know how I was actually reading a devotion that was talking about how, you know, you go in there and you have to walk through this path, and the hoarders, you know, and you've seen the show, they've got all this stuff piled up. Well, that's how our mind is, and our mind gets stuck in all of that, and focus is getting on focus and getting rid of all of that and focusing on God.
Right. Absolutely. That's exactly right. Looking straight ahead, getting our eyes fixed on something and hanging on to it and pressing through to see that thing manifest to come to pass. That's a great word for this year, is focus, because if there's ever been a year that's caused us to lose our focus, it's probably this year we're coming out of. I've been laughing about all the posts I've been seeing on social media about, I've opened every door and window in my house to let the old year out. And ready for a new year to come in. Wow. It's been a lot of difficulty and a lot of hardships on a lot of people this year, but they're, you know, God's still faithful and victory's still ours. And we're being raised back up in Jesus' name to get our eyes set on a prize, and we're headed for it.
That's right. That's right. So I just kind of wondering, curious, that's something that I like to do for the beginning of the year, because I'm not, like we talked about, we don't really do New Year's resolutions. Do you typically have something that you try to prepare for the new year, or because being a pastor of the church, you know, you have, I'm sure you want to bring vision to the church. So I was
right.
Just kind of curious about that.
You know, we always do that. We always, I just set usually the month of December, I try to really kind of isolate myself a little bit and get away and just with a pen and a pad and just try to hear the voice of the Lord and just say, God, you know, what's your plan, for the coming year? I don't want something that's my idea or my plan. It'll fail. But God, I want to hear your voice and hear your word. And you know, really the number one thing I hear is a commitment to prayer that just seemed to explode in me to get more people involved in praying correctly and praying the power of God and praying the will of God to be in manifestation on our church and the families in our church and the people. And like you said, that word keeps coming up, the people would really be focused on the plan, the will and the purpose of God for their lives. And not be distracted by all the voices, all the politics, all the media, fake news, or whatever you want to call it, all that stuff. But just say, hey, I've got a truth. I've got a reality. I've got a truth that comes from the author of truth and that cannot fail. If I'm walking in the truth, I know I'm going to be walking in liberty because it's the knowledge of that truth that's making me free. And I want, you know, John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And that's kind of my heart. And when I hear testimonies of people from our church, I was believing God for something and it came to pass. And I've been praying about this in my devotional times, and they just make comments like that. My heart kind of it gets quickened over that. And as I hear they're really catching on and they're pressing in. And so that's always good, yeah, to be a seeker of truth that liberates us and makes us free is the ultimate goal, I think, of any church leader or any, you know, Christian, any leader in the Christian field. So that's always been strong for me.
That's great. I'm sorry. Remind me the name of your church again and where you guys are located.
Okay, it's Victory Family Church. We're located on 24th Street in Perryton, Texas, right on Main Street. When you come in from, you're coming from Wheeler, you come in from the south, you're headed north, we're the very first intersection on the corner. And an old Ford dealership, we purchased it many years ago, refurbished it and gutted it and remodeled it and turned the thing into our church. And so that's right where we are. Not right across the street from the golf course, which was by God's design. I understand that. So that was good.
You're not a golfer, are you?
Well, more of a goofer, but I have hacked at it quite a bit.
I've made a few divots in the, yeah. So anyway, well, that is cool. Well, you know, you had said something about your people pressing forward. You know, pressing on, because I mean, you know, we actually, if you look at the last 2 years, it's just been kind of a something that's just been it's just so many things that's been going on that things, if you look at what's going on in the world and what the media is saying and all of those things, it can really bring you down.
Boy, it absolutely can.
Yeah. And wow. Yeah, and so I was looking, and that makes me think of a verse. It's in Philippians 3:13. It says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, which to me is pressing on.
Man, that's probably the verse of the year. That's excellent. Man, I know that word is God-directed right there. That we're forgetting the things which are behind. Wow. Boy, how crucial and critical is that right now? Not just for this year, but for, you know, I mean, that's really a daily revelation. I need to forget yesterday's. And God is a God of freshness. He's a God of new beginnings. His mercies are new every morning. And so that's so good. I'm glad you brought that word out that we are forgetting those things which are behind. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ.
That's right.
That ought to be all of us. Get a hold of that, people that are listening today. Just begin to decree. I forget yesterday. I'm just going to leave it behind. Good, you know, good or bad, really. And just, press on to higher things and the positive things that are waiting for us. and let go of those negative things that are dragging us down. Take off that weight and that load that's the weight and the sin, he said, that easily besets us, and start running with patience, endurance, the race that is set before us. So that's a, man, that's a great word. I'm writing that down right now. That's awesome. I'm going to really lay hold of that. That's strong for right now in this hour.
I'm telling you, and I surely need it for myself, because, you know, so many times I set out, especially, you know, I set out, okay, I'm really going to work on this. I need to do this. And I feel like God's leading me to do this and do that. And so personally in my life, you know, sometimes I don't make the mark. I miss it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm probably the only one, but hey. And I need that
word. That's right. Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that because I've never done that. So,
see, hey, I'm glad you said that.
Oh, yeah, we do that. That's, you know, that's the meaning of sin, and which is an archer shooting an arrow at a target, and he misses the mark. That's what the definition of sin is. It's simply missing a mark. And making the corrections that would help us actually what that word said, to press toward that mark for that, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. So that's, of course, that's our aim and that's our goal. And if we don't, we understand his mercy. We understand his blood covering and grace, and we get all of that. But yeah, we want to press in and start targeting some things that we're going to hit. And bring that satisfaction of knowing you walked in the will of God and you fulfilled his plan and purpose. That's really good.
Yes, you know, I was thinking about, you know, when you drive in your car and you're looking through the windshield, and if you're continually looking in your rearview mirror, you're focused on what's behind you, and then you can run into something that you shouldn't run into.
Right.
On the road, and staying focused on what's going on in front of you and not what's behind you. You know, so many times I think that we as Christians, and I say this because I'm guilty of it, is that I will look at, oh, I really messed this up. How can God use me? How many times am I going to get, I mean, am I ever going to get this right? And, you know, I just think about that, and we have to remember that that is what the reason why Jesus came, the reason why Jesus died on the cross.
That's exactly right. And, you know, that is something I know we have, as believers, we have got to guard our heart from the guilt, the condemnation, the shame of our yesterdays. The powerful identity that we walk in right now as believers is we have been made something. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus took our sin in a great exchange, gave us his righteousness, which simply means this, that we have been made right with God through our faith in Jesus Christ, which gives us the ability to stand in our Father's presence without a sense of guilt, inferiority, condemnation, or shame. And that is probably the most powerful revelation that we can get from the new covenant, that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, that's what he ministered to the church. And he said, now there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. I love Romans 8. Man, I read that pretty regular. I love to teach on it because it starts with Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ. So that it starts with no condemnation. He ends with nothing shall separate us from the love of God. So it starts with no condemnation, ends with no separation. And in between those two verses, the entire Romans chapter 8 is about Holy Spirit revelation. So that's a powerful word for right now for those that may be struggling with the shame and the guilt and the condemnation of our past. Man, I'm telling you right now, you know, and I know there's the great kid movie and a kid song going on right now. Said, let it go.
Oh yeah,
that Frozen
let it go.
Thing. Oh God, yeah. Who can't sing that? Oh my goodness.
Right?
And I mean, there's nothing more relevant today in the church than that right there. You know what? Let it go. I had some, you know, you say, I had some horrible disappointments, you know, in this past year, just horrible failures and disappointments and shame. And so what's your word for me? I said, I'm going to tell you, but you won't like it. Let it go. Yeah, but so-and-so hurt me. I said, look at me.
Yeah.
But you don't know what they did to me. Listen to me. Look at me. Let it go for your own good. Let it go. I had a guy here that an older man that didn't even go to my church, but we became good friends just at the coffee shop and whatnot. And he would come in for years. He would come in Sunday morning about walk into my office. I'd be at the church on a Sunday morning. He'd come into my office. And everybody in town knew this guy as cantankerous and a just pretty rough spoken guy who just had it out for everybody. It was just horrible. And if you mentioned the guy's name, people would like, oh wow, and kind of roll their eyes and go, geez, that guy, man, he's rough. That guy's, he's so angry and he's so bitter. So he would come in. Not every Sunday morning, but a lot. He'd come into my office and he'd say, hey, preacher, what have you been doing this week? And we'd talk a little bit. And then he'd start into who'd hurt him that week. Who'd upset him. And you know, so-and-so, well, I tell you, they're not a very good person. He'd go off on people and he'd start bringing up everybody's struggles and troubles and all their difficulties and their offenses toward him. And he said, what do you think about that, preacher? And I'd say every single time, I'd say, I'll tell you what I think about it. Look at me right in my eye. Let it go. He said, well, that's easy for you to say. I said, no, it's not easy to say. It's not easy to do. But I'm saying, if you want to go on and progress content and happy in your life, you're going to have to let those things go. Let them go. A few months after one of the greatest times we had at my desk, he passed away. And they called me, and he went to another church, was very faithful to it, but they called me to do a service and to assist. And I thought, what in the world? Why me? Said, well, let me tell you something. I can't even tell you how much he thought of you and how much advice and counsel that you would give him that he's so respected and honored. And I laughed and I said, well, I'm not so sure that he always did it. Said, well, we're just saying he just spoke so highly of you. And he said, man, I love that guy. He is so honest with me and open. And so when it came time for my part in the service, man, I told him about him coming in. I told him about some of the things he had said. Mm-hmm. And I didn't name any names, but I said, you know, this guy, come on, guys. He had a huge family and a big funeral service. And I said, come on, guys, this guy had issues. And the whole place just started laughing. I said, he had struggles. I said, man, he had difficulties. If you got on his bad side, look out, because you were in trouble. And they're all nodding and grinning. And I said, so my advice to him was always, hey, let it go. Forget it. Let it go. And so anyway, I shared some of the things that he had shared with me, some of his hurts and all. And when I was walking out of the church after the service, a couple of guys stopped me and said, well, I know one thing. I don't know exactly who is doing my funeral, but I know who's not. I said, what? They said, you're not doing my funeral. I said, why? They said, because you tell the truth. We don't want people telling the truth at our service. We don't want somebody to lie about us. I said, well, that's about the way it is. And that's kind of sad. but you know what? But that was his, man. But again, I think about that. That was his whole deal. He was so burdened. And he'd cry. I mean, he'd just tears come down his face, probably in his mid-80s, the times he's coming in to see me. And I'm just like, come on, man. You don't hardly have a friend in the world. And I get it. I go, I know why. Because you carry so much stuff. And you can't forgive. And you can't let things go. And you can't get over. So get over it. Well, no, now it's a pretty hard hurt. You know, things about, I'd not say forgive them. Man, I just can't give it. Talked to him about forgiveness, and I tell him, I said, you know, listen to me. Unforgiveness is like you wanting the person that has offended you to die, but you're taking the poison. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? That's what's hurting you. You're not getting over stuff and letting things go. And so that is part of that, forgetting what is behind, pressing toward the mark. So if anybody, you're listening to me today, so I want to have a great new year. Last year was pretty bad. Well, you know, check your relationship level. Where are you at in your love walk? Where are you at in your forgiveness walk? What are you holding against somebody? What's keeping you back? What's depressing you? what are you thinking about first thing in the morning when you wake up? You know, sometimes, well, that's the first thing people do is bring up offenses. When they wake up, they go to bed thinking about it, they wake up thinking about it, and it dominates their whole day, their whole attitude, their whole life, and they've fallen right into the trap of the enemy, and that's exactly where he wants us to walk, hanging on to stuff that's not worth, literally not worth hanging on to.
That's right. You know, I was talking about that show, The Hoarders. I just bringing that show back because if you've ever seen that show, you know, they have like stacks and stacks of things in their house that you can't get to, you know, things that you need to use, whether it's your bathroom or your kitchen or whatever. And you're literally walking through this path. But as you go through that show, you know, at the end, they're trying to have people come in and help them move those things out so they can function in that house like they need to. And it just, it just makes me think about the same thing. That's how we are in our mind is the enemy has us, the things that we stack up is the unforgiveness and the jealousy and the, all those things that hold us back. That's like how in that show, you know, it's stacked in our mind and we having a hard time getting around where we need it. It's time to start cleaning that out. It's time to start letting go and doing like what you're saying is, let somebody come in and help you, whatever you need to do, but let's get this cleaned out in your mind.
Right. That is absolute truth. Yeah, those hoarder shows, I think about that in our heart. There's, you know, God has an abundance of life waiting for us, but we're having to just fight through the clutter to get to it. And sometimes can't accomplish that, what God wants for us, because there's so many things and obstacles in our way that a lot of times that we put there that unless we're willing to clean that thing out and quit hoarding all this mess, then we'll never reach the abundance that God's called us to walk in. And I'm telling you, that's so the heart of God that he wants us walking in that. I love the Amplified. I've come that you might have and enjoy life to the full till it overflows.
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite.
Isn't that good? That is so in abundance to the full till it overflows. That is so powerful. And so I'm telling you, so few are experiencing that. They just don't experience it. And because there's so an abundance of so much other stuff in their life that they're fighting through, waging war on all the time and dealing with, instead of just, you know, bringing that to God and cast those cares over on him, let him carry the thing, which brings us into our liberty. So that's my encouragement for people today.
Because he cares for us.
Isn't that good?
Yes, that is so good. Do you think that some people might get comfortable in their chaos?
Oh, no question about it. Oh, my goodness gracious. That's what's sad about the whole deal. They literally are hanging on to their discomfort. Cartoon when the children's minister or whatever once said, don't hug a grudge. That was the title of the lesson, I think. And somebody was there with a blanket and it said grudge on it. They were holding onto that blanket, you know, and they were hugging their grudges. That's literally their comfort. And it's just so stinking sad when people are doing that, you know, thinking that, you know, it's like the lady who said, I know it pays to worry. Because over half of the things I worry about never happen. Well, how nuts is that? That's just, well, lady, don't worry about anything. Philippians 4 said, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And the God of peace will keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. So a lot of these things we're laying hold on. We're holding on to it. We like sometimes the sympathy. That could, well, bless your heart. We know people are mistreating you. We know you've been abused and misused and all of that. And we don't make light of those things because they're real. But at the same time, if we're going to fulfill the plan of God, come into the fullness of the abundant life that God wants us to walk in, we don't have a choice. Just, you know, Lord, I want your abundance more than I want the comfort of this, of holding on to this offense. I want the healing of Jesus on my life more than I want to lay hold of these grudges and offenses that I keep carrying. I want it more. I want it more. And God, you know, if you have forgiven me, which is, of course, the whole New Testament is is based on, you know, God forgiving us, that we have been forgiven. Now, he said, Paul said in Ephesians, he said, now you can forgive others because you have been forgiven. So I've got to, first of all, get a revelation that I have been completely, totally forgiven of all my sin, and then realize that if he's forgiven me, you know, he's forgiven me a debt I could never repay. Let's say millions of dollars of debt, like the story in the Bible. He forgave that guy. $1 million debt. And he goes outside the place of his forgiveness and sees a guy that owes him a few cents and says, hey, you owe me money. Grabs a hold of him and he says, pay me what you owe me. He said, I can't. So he threw him into debtor's prison. Well, they brought him back in, you know, and said, well, the king said, bring him back in here. What? I gave you, forgave you millions of dollars of debt. You couldn't forgive that man a few cents of debt against you. And that's the way it is sometimes. Get a revelation. How great was my sin debt? How great was my debt? And Jesus came and forgave it all. I could never pay the debt that I owed, but Jesus came and forgave me of it anyway. So that's what our focus has to be. I am forgiven. And if I'm forgiven, then, hey, let me tell you something. You know, somebody says, hey, forgive me for that. Who in the world am I to say I won't? No, I'm going to hold on to that. Nope. I'm just going to keep this for down the road. When I need to pull it out, you did this to me and use my offenses to come back at somebody. Nope, not doing it. Not going to afford myself the luxury anymore of letting that be my comfort where I feel secure in my insecurities and in my unforgivenesses. I'm not doing it. So letting it go, getting over it.
You know, as you're talking about that, you know, what comes to mind is sometimes I think people, because they have these areas in their life that they're dealing with, or they feel like they've failed and they're not worthy, is it keeps them from actually even coming to the church, just coming through the doors of the church.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that is a place of forgiveness. Well, you know what? I really don't want to forgive. Yeah, if I go in there, I'll probably have to, I'll hear something about forgiving somebody, and I don't want to. There was a family in our lives many years ago, and I was just in high school, but I remember this so vividly. There were two sets of friends of my parents, and one family lived in Kansas, the other in the Amarillo area, and we lived in the panhandle of Oklahoma. And I remember this family from Amarillo coming to our house to visit on a Saturday. And unexpectedly, this family from Kansas came at the same time, just dropped in. Well, many years previous, this family from Kansas knew this family from Amarillo as well. And something had happened in their lives that had caused a tremendous, unforgiveness. There had been a tremendous offense. The family in Kansas had hurt this family bad, and they did. And it was true what they did. I mean, it was very painful what they did to this family. Well, when they pull up, the incident, the offense had occurred against, gets up and runs out the back door of our house, out into the backyard, mad that these people are there. He's furious, and both of these families are tremendous Christian people. You know, they love the Lord, great church people, work in the church. He runs out the door. My dad says, go out and talk to him, see if he's okay. We didn't know those people were coming. My lands, he's so mad. So I went out there and I said, man, here I am like 16, 17 years old. I said, man, are you okay? What's going on? I can't believe those people are here. Your dad better not let them in the house. I don't want to see those people. I don't want to talk to those people. And just raging. Mm-hmm. In his tone and his attitude. And I said, man, I said, and I've learned some things since then, but I said, well, man, with that attitude in your heart, it kind of scares me that you think you'll go to heaven with that attitude toward these people? He said, let me ask you a question. Now, this is how deep it gets. Let me ask you a question. Do you think those people are going to heaven? I said, I know they are. He said, then I'd have to see them there, wouldn't I? And I said, well, sure. He said, then I don't want to go.
Oh, wow.
See that? I'm never, boy, that made a mark on my heart as a teenage kid, how deep unforgiveness can go and bitterness. If they're going to be there, then I don't want to go. God, And so I, you know, it ended. They got, packed their stuff and left and drove off. And it opened the door to so many tragedies in that family's life. I could nearly write a book on the tragedies that happened in that person's life simply, I believe simply because they opened the door to the enemy to come in and just wreak havoc over them because of some things they were holding on to. Don't give mm-hmm. the enemy an open door to your life and to your family, to your finances or to your health by walking in a disobedient attitude where forgiveness is concerned. Life is too precious and valuable to waste on something, I don't want to say petty, but something, that is going to have, yeah, exactly. That will keep you from the things that God wants you walking in. It's such a hard deal.
You know, that makes me think about one of the things that Aaron Mercer, our pastor here at Cornerstone Church, says. He says, when you get in the midst of it, is it going to matter in eternity?
Ooh.
And then if you weigh that against mm-hmm. what you're going through, what will it matter in eternity?
Oh, wow. Absolutely. See, that's exactly right. You know, how important is this thing to hold on to? When eternity is out there in the scope of eternity, that means nothing. Yeah, you're right. That's good.
Well, and that's
good
our destination.
Good preacher, brother, Pastor Aaron.
I'm telling
exactly.
you, he's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And then, you know, really what keeps coming to mind is Job. You know, Job feared all these things
mm-hmm.
and he focused on that. And so what happened to Job is that, you know, the one thing that he feared, those fears that he feared actually came on him.
You know, boy, if people could get a revelation of that. You know, God wasn't just picking on Job. God wasn't being ugly to Job. God wasn't just using him as a test case for the world to see. Man, if anybody ever opened the doors for anything to happen evil in their life, he did. He walked in complete and total fear of everything that happened to him. So that's a great word for today, is shutting the door. It's an old Negro spiritual says, shut the door, keep out the devil. And that's exactly what we need to be walking in right now. Shut all the doors that are letting the enemy come in and bring destruction. It's what he came to do, is steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
But he has to have a path. And I'm not going to give it to him.
Yep, that's right. I oftentimes try to remember that because that goes back to letting go, what we're talking about. And we're also talking about focus. What was his focus? And, you know, that might, I'm going to have to let that be along with my word this year is let it go. You know,
right.
You know, when you're focusing on those things, there's things that you're going to have to let go of that focus mm-hmm. and change your focus.
Absolutely. It's got to happen. I'm believing for great. I mean, you know, I'm believing for the help of the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's in my
life
for a purpose, you know, and I cannot, many of these things, we say it this way. I can't, Lord, okay, but I can't do this on my own. I can't do this in my flesh. I'm going to have all the faith I can muster to get this done. But that's really cool that you said that because the faith for that is available and we have the ability to walk in that.
That's right. And then that what Jesus says, he says, I have to go so that I can send you a helper because you need some help.
yeah,
can't do it on your own.
No, 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 cannot be done. That's right, man. Our flesh, the spirit is indeed willing, but our flesh is weak.
Yes.
So we're living according to the spirit. That's a good word for this year as well.
Yeah, you know,
live in the spirit.
Yeah, and that makes me think about Paul where he says, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I know I should do.
That's a great word. That's exactly right. That's a powerful word for all of us today. Yeah. Now, I like the end of that. It says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. You know, I was talking about that verse again is, I'm going to read that again. It says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, which if those want to know where that's at, it's in Philippians 3:13. But I was looking about, you know, it says forget You know, that's what we're talking about. We need, you know, we're talking about focus, but now we need to forget. And actually, the Greek word for that, it actually means that it's done. It's accomplished. It's no longer an issue before you. And so that's what we need to do, is we need to forget. It's no longer, let that be something that continues.
Oh, wow. Absolutely. Damn. Beautiful. Yeah. Kill it. Yeah. Kill it. Don't give it an opportunity to rise up. And, you know, it's, you know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and these things. And it says, and it talks about the wiles of the devil. And the wiles means the schemes, the strategies, the plans.
That's right.
So the enemy has a scheme, a strategy, and a plan to bring about my demise. So he says, you know, so take the armor of God that you may resist him. You know, you'd be sensitive. I mean, we ought to be sensitive enough. We know when this thing is, you know, this thing isn't of God, that I'm under attack. Something's going on in my life that's not the will of God. I got to rise up and spiritually discern that and stop it. And realize what the enemy's trying to do. You know, he said, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And then he said, casting the whole of your care upon him because he cares for you. Then he says, the enemy's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I love that word, may, because I learned that, I learned the meaning of that as a kid. And in school we'd learn that in our grammar classes and all. And can or may. Said, Mama, can I have a cookie? She said, I don't know, can you?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. May I have a cookie? Well, one denotes, you know, permission, and, you know, and the other doesn't. Seeking whom he can devour? No, it's seeking whom he may devour. He has to receive permission, and he doesn't get it from God. He gets it from us, which opens the door. You know, my unforgiveness is giving him permission to wreak havoc in my life. My sin that I may be dealing with, but struggling with, I need to know I've got to deal with that. I've got to kill that. I've got to overcome that, because, you know, it's bringing a spirit of destruction into certain areas of my life. And so thank God for the blood of Jesus, and thank God for, like I said, for faith that we can see the end, you know, better. I'm believing we can see our end better, greater than the beginning, and stopping things that are seeking to bring destruction upon us. And I'm setting myself on that this year, man. My heart is rejoicing. My heart is excited about first personally, and then spreading it out to the rest of the kingdom of God and the people that God allows me to minister to this year. It's going to be a celebration time, I'm telling you, because the Lord, you know, God, let God arise, and his enemies are being scattered.
That's right. You know, you were talking, you know, and saying yes and rising up and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But you were talking about the armor of God, and that's another thing, is it says to put on the whole armor of God. So if we're to put that on, it's basically meaning that God has provided that. It's right there. All you
Absolutely.
Have to do is put it on in order to, by faith, put that on and receive that so that you can fight that battle.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. These are all things of the Spirit, which are things that we receive by faith. You know, I can't see any of the armor, but I know I have it in the realm of the Spirit. You know, I have the helmet of salvation, which of course is put on the head to protect our thoughts. To protect our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, our thinking faculties, things of that nature. So that salvation is working in me, saving, regenerating, renewing my mind continually. I'm renewing and receiving. That's what we're doing now as believers, and pressing on to that thing by thinking a different way than we've ever thought before. And we can use that word there, repenting. Repenting, what's it mean? Metanoia means the changing of the mind. I'm changing my mind about what I thought about that person. My mind, you know?
Yeah, and how do we do that? How do we change our mind? How do we change our way of thinking?
You know, Paul was so vivid on that throughout the entire New Covenant. He said, you know, your spirit's been reborn. You're a believer. The life of God is in you. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Your spirit is made alive. But he said, if that was all there was to it, it'd be wonderful, but it's not. He said, and I think we've done a disservice to the body of Christ when we've sung songs and said things about our soul. Well, we say, I thank the Lord, he saved my soul. Well, there's one problem with that, scripturally solid. And the truth of that matter is my soul is not saved. My spirit has been reborn. It's been regenerated. It's received the life of God. But Paul clearly said, especially in James, to receive the engrafted word, which is able now to save your soul. So that's a progress. That's a process that we're going through in Romans 12. You won't see Paul doing this very much, but he gets a hold of this and knows that this is going to be the key to the success of every believer's life. I beseech you. What is that word? It's beg. I plead with you by the mercies of God. His emphasis is strong there, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That's your reasonable service. And then here's something powerful. Don't you be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Yeah. How? And here it is. By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for your life. So, I mean, he didn't take this thing lightly. He got, you know, he just went to the church in Rome and he said, look, this is not optional. If you guys are going to be, you know, strong believers, if you're going to walk in the success that God's provided for you through the finished work of Jesus, then, hey, you're going to have some maintenance is required. The maintenance, you know, we're going to have to do some, what is our work? You know, we're not working to be saved. We're working because we are saved. We're not working, you know, the Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, it didn't say work for your salvation. He said work out your salvation. What's happened in my spirit is I've received the life of God, received the favor of God, received all that God is through Jesus Christ is in me now. But why don't I see it manifest? Because your mind has a part to play in this thing. And he said you have to do some work on your thoughts, on your mind. You have to start thinking God thoughts, which produces God results. So you know what? When you see your Bible laying there, God didn't put that Bible there for just you to look at and pat it and say, "It's a wonderful book." Man, it's got the words of life in it, and expects us to be trained, to be discipled, to be taught. We have a class at our church called Detox. And I love the definition of that word, because and then I call it DTs, and we call it discipleship training. You're going to DTs tonight, or going to detox class, and it's discipleship training. And it's so, I mean, you know, and we have a good, you know, we have a pretty good bunch that comes to it, but I freak out sometimes at those who don't and who need it the most and are free to come, but just, we're good. You know, Pastor, we'll let you pray for us. We'll let you read the word for us. We'll let you interpret scripture for us. We'll let you preach at us all this and do absolutely nothing on their own to develop their mind or make their soul prosperous. And 3 John 2 says, beloved, that thank God that's us. I would or wish or pray above all things that you prosper and be in health. Well, that's not a period there. That's a comma. Even as your soul prospers. Even as, or in direct proportion to the development of your soul, that's to the degree that you will see, his prosperity in your life, that you will prosper and be in health, are related to the prosperity of your soul. What do you think about that? Sickness and disease, what do you think about it? Well, I believe God's using that to teach me something great. Well, you've already set yourself up for failure. For defeat. Where's sickness come from? Well, you know, God does that to people, and then some churches, you know, they just flat out teach it and preach it. Well, no wonder they're sick. God wants to, God had to knock them down.
They needed to flower in
down.
Heaven.
Oh, God, you know, oh, God, deliver us from so much traditional so many traditional lies that have kept us in captivity. And you don't know who your enemy is. How are you going to stand against him? You know, if you think it's God, then, you know, it's a wonder that you're still here. Come on, people. We have a good God. You know, I heard a guy say one time, let me just put it all in a simplistic form. Good God, bad devil. You don't need to know anything else.
Well, that just goes back to John 10:10. I have come that you may have life to the full till it overflows.
Exactly. Perfect.
Yeah, he did not come to give us, like he's sitting up there, and kind of like our parents, you know, they'd have that fly swatter or something ready to just whack
right.
us when we do something wrong. That's not.
Oh, wow.
You know, I've been listening to a book by a well-known teacher, and he is talking about our imagination and how important our imagination is. And it's because it's a form of meditation, and God actually, you know, gave us that imagination, because when we have that word, we need to imagine ourselves in that word. And when we begin to imagine ourselves being healed, being set free,
that's right.
being all those things, once we begin to see ourselves that way, then that's able, then we're able to walk into that.
Well, that's the truth. That is, you know, and the world has, you know, the Satan doesn't have an original thought. You know, he takes things that God has done and perverts them. I mean, just simple thing like sex. He take a great thing. He took it and perverted it. Like money. It's a great thing. Money's not bad. Money's good. We can use money, but he's taken it and perverted it. And the love of money, now he said, is the root of all evil. Things that have been meant for our good, the enemy perverts it. And I think like things like imagination or meditation. Well, you mentioned that sometimes around Christian people, they'll look up and, oh, meditation, that's of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation, you know, transcendental meditation and all of that, or yoga. They'll bring up all these evil things associated with meditation. And you're going, hey, wait a minute. Meditation is God's idea. You know, that's God's thought. He said,
right.
If you meditate the word of God day and night, you will prosper in everything you set your hand to. So, man, let's get the thing right and do it, you know, God's way. Avoid, don't be conformed to this world and the things that they're propagating as truth. When God says, no, meditation is true, but there's a right and wrong way to do it.
Well,
think on, ponder these things, utter these things, and see the good come out of the Word of God.
That's right. And the opposite is true to it. What are you meditating on? What are you imagining?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because
Absolutely.
That's what your focus is going to be. And that's where you're going to move forward in.
Well, that's right. See, and that's why, you know, garbage in, garbage out.
That's right.
Yeah. My wife told our kids, you know, they'd be talking about some kid at school or raining on somebody. And she said, Hey, you quit letting your ears become garbage cans. For people to dump all their trash in. That's not what those ears were given you for. They were given for you to hear the word of God and for faith to come. So quit listening to all that stuff and repeating it. And, you know, boy, that's a good word.
That is good. Kids. I wish I'd have known that to tell my kids.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's right. Well, as we look at the end of this verse here, I wanted to go back to it because there's one more thing that I really wanted to point out. Is the towards the end of that Philippians 3:13 verse, it says, and reaching forth unto the things which are before. And so reaching forth, and when you go in and you study that word out, it actually means, that's actually like a runner in a race. He's running with every ounce of his strength that he can get up, and that he is going to go the distance to finish what he needs to do and to go strong. And you're focused on that goal and running towards that. It makes me think about that scripture too. Go ahead.
No, yeah, you're right. No, I'm just saying that's a call of God on us. It's not just a suggestion of God. It's the call of God on our lives. You know, that there is a divine supernatural calling that we're called to in doing those things, in leaving things behind and pressing toward. That's not just something that's a good idea. You know, that's a God idea. But he said, if you knew what was, you know, I talk about, I think we talked about it on the program one time a few weeks ago, talked about the mountain that Jesus used as obstacles pertaining to faith. And he said, that mountain, he said, if you would speak to that mountain, you know, be removed, cast into the sea, and doubt in your heart, but believe the things you say come to pass, you'll have what you say. And that mountain would be cast into the sea. And I just thought, and then I had that thought, I think I brought out on a previous broadcast, that if you could just see through, and here's how we see, if you could see what's on the other side of that mountain, you would be determined that that mountain's going
to
leave.
That's right.
If you could see what's on the other side of that thing, so that's why are we pressing? It's just the same old, same old. It's not the same old, same old. There's a mountain of opposition in your way. And if you, by the Spirit of God, face up to see what's on the other side of that mountain, oh, you, I mean, there's no way you can be stopped. Your love walk increases. Your faith goes crazy. Your giving expands. Everything about your walk as a believer explodes in power when you say, you know, as Paul said, and we've used these verses, but they don't even pertain to heaven, where he says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And we stop there and say, yes, thank God, we're talking about heaven and the sweet by and by out there somewhere. Hallelujah.
I hope I'm not even, one day.
Right? He's not even talking about heaven there, because the next verse says, but he has revealed those things unto us by his Spirit. So there are things that he's prepared for us we haven't seen in the natural, because we haven't seen it. First you see it in the Spirit, then you obtain it in the natural. And if you're not meditating this word, you're not diligent before God in prayer, you know, you're not faithful to the things that God has called us to, then you won't see those things in the Spirit that God is waiting for you. Man, my greatest day, I'm 66 years old. My greatest days are yet ahead. There's no question about it. You know, and you think it depressing, if you don't know the Spirit, that a couple of years ago, a guy came by our church and his minister, he calls me out. He just, man, it's all being moved by the Spirit of God. And he said, you know, your greatest ministry is yet ahead of you. And I'm thinking then, you know, about that time, I'm like 64, 65 years old, whatever. I'm going, yeah, okay. Man, well, I've done a lot of things and been a lot of places, and wow. When you think you're wanting to back off and let the younger take over, or step back a little bit, God said, oh no, it's time for the push. Here we go. It's just now time for the push. So I love that, man. I live on that word. You know, Bible says when you receive a prophetic word, you go to war with it. What Paul told Timothy. So that's something you get to fight with. And I've asked our people, how many ever received a prophetic word? Yes, amen. Raise your hands, kind of, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Didn't come to pass, whatever. Yeah, because you didn't war with it. You have to say, this is the word the Lord has given me. This will come to pass in my life, and I will see the goodness of God in that word in the name of Jesus. And just rise up and be bold and go get it.
But, Pastor Marlon, I just don't have time to do all that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
will you do it for me?
Exactly. The time thief. That's what we pay you for.
That's right. That's one thing I have learned in my own life is I have time for what I want to do. I will make time for what I want.
Isn't that the truth? You got, you know, I'm laughing sometimes at people who say I don't have anything to give or I don't have time for that. But you know what? You got the money for basically anything you want. You know, if you don't have any money to give to that missionary project, but all of a sudden you have several thousand show up for that speedboat. You know, I'm confused here. Wait a minute.
Against speedboats, because I like speedboats.
Oh, please, me too. No, absolutely. God gives us, he said he gives us all things freely to enjoy. But to enjoy. You know, I love athletics. I love a lot of things in this world. I absolutely, you know, that I do this. I always said, I love that. I love that. And the Lord corrected me. He said, no. He said, I don't want you to love it. I gave it to you to enjoy. He said, you love me, but you enjoy those things.
Oh, that's good.
There's a big difference. Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. You love me. You set your love on me. But now I've given you, because you love me, I've set all these things out for you. And giving you some great things to freely enjoy. That's a big difference Because if you set your love on something, it becomes your priority. It becomes your, you know, your first love. If you said to the church, you know, in Revelations, your problem is you left your first love. Yeah. So you obviously have a second or a third love or a fourth love. So he said, no, he's your first love. And then just said, Lord, I thank you. You give me all these things to enjoy. And he does. He freely gives us all these things to enjoy. I love that about him. He's so awesome.
Yes, he is so good. And you talked about sports, and we've been talking about running the race, because that's what we as Christians do. Mm-hmm. And we are running our race to the target. And I think about I have envisioned in me a person running track. And what do they mm-hmm. do? They wear clothes that are lightweight, that mm-hmm. that don't weigh them down. They wear spikes to help them run faster. And it makes me think of that verse. It says, throw off everything that entangles you.
Oh, good word right there.
And and so as we finish out the show today, I'm just one like for you, if you would pray, if you would be willing to pray for those out here that are trying to forget about those things and press on forth as we go into 2022 and focus on him and lay aside everything that entangles us.
Absolutely. I will absolutely do that. And people realize today, you are not a burden-bearing mule or a donkey. You're a sheep. You know, stubborn-headed, carry the pack, carry the load, but sheep follow. So, Father, I thank you today that we're speaking and praying over a lot of sheep today. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that the sheep, your sheep, hear your voice, and they follow after what you're saying to them in this hour. The only way to overcome and be victorious is that we follow the voice of God. That's my prayer over the people today, that by the help of God, the Holy Spirit, they lay aside the things that beset them, the sins, the weights, the insignificant things that don't even matter, and run with patience the race set before them in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Oh, thank you so much for that prayer. And thank you for joining me tonight. I missed having you on here.
I'm telling you, this is fun.
I'm telling you.
I like it.
That's right. Me too. How much more fun?
Well, you're going to have to come do it in person with us, Pastor.
Well, that would be good. I don't know if y'all can handle me in person.
We've done it once or twice.
Yeah, we've been giving you a hard time. Have your ears been burning? You know, we think you need to get down here and come visit us here in Wheeler.
Love it. I come through a lot, but I don't stop much.
Well, I just want to encourage all of you here tonight that are listening, just lay everything aside. Focus, look forward, look straight. And be encouraged tonight that God has given you all the strength that you need to do what you need to do. Also, we really want to hear from you. We have a new webpage now, SundayNightLive.org. Go and check that out. We have different links to Cornerstone Church and Kingdom Keys Network. And I need to get your info, Marlon, and get you connected on there too as well, so that people can go and find out where you're at.
Absolutely.
We want to hear from you guys. There's a place to, you can email me. Let us know what God's doing in your life. We really want to hear from you.
And we also have past episodes of this program there to be listened to.
That's right.
On demand, I guess is the word we're saying. So.
On demand. There
on demand.
You go.
So.
All right. Well, folks, we thank you for tuning in tonight, and we just hope that when we pray that you have a good night.
All right. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.